Good morning, I'm David Ellis. Welcome to this, the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's July the 20th. This evening, I believe quite a number of people will be going to the semifinals. I must confess that I really need to go to the semifinals to get a sense of what is the music that has been produced this year, because I don't know if the elections caused it or what. But I haven't had that feel for the crop over this year. I suspect there are some other people who make a similar claim, but as a consequence of not having that particular involvement this year, I feel kind of left out when it comes to the social commentary and that sort of thing. I was curious to find out whether there was going to be any change in the tone of the social commentary this year. Because, as you know, I've told you before, I thought that has been terribly watered down over the years. And so for whatever reason, it would be interesting to see if with the change of government we will see a change in tone. But perhaps we have to wait until next year to see that. Call us at 434-1790. And you can also send your text messages to us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. Welcome to the program, and welcome to the first caller. Hello.
Hello, hi. Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
How are you, man?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad at all. First, let me say this way. I was hoping to get in on Monday, because I don't call too regular these days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I was hoping to get in on Monday.
Right.
I don't know if to congratulate you, but to say, though, that class is class, and form is only temporary, right? I listened to the interview, not the whole entire thing.
Right.
You and Prime Minister Motley.
Yes.
And David, you still have what it takes to conduct a good, meaningful interview. I thoroughly enjoy what I heard. And equally so...
I know you mark very hard.
Of course. And equally so, I must congratulate Madam Prime Minister. I think that she meets you toe-to-toe, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And I am saying, and it come back to mind, this is what has been missing from the political landscape, okay? And I don't think that you asked any question that would put Prime Minister Motley in a safe zone. I think that you were straight. I think that you were direct, and...
At the end of the day, you know what that is about. And I mean, there are some people in this country who unfortunately seem to have lost or have not been exposed to the way that interviews of that nature have been done over the years,
mm-hmm.
Particularly some of the younger people as well, who seem to believe that you ought not to put to the Prime Minister or any Minister of Government questions that they believe are tough questions.
Mm-hmm.
You need to remember what is the role of the media practitioner. As I said on Friday before that interview, whether you like a person or not, you have a specific responsibility. And in that kind of interview, because interviews vary, but in that kind of interview, it is your responsibility to identify what appear to be the valid concerns that have been raised by people, and you put that individual in a position to respond to those concerns. That is the whole reason for it, so that there is that sense of accountability to the people. But there are those who have a difficulty with that, and that is the professional way to do it. If you check, this was not exactly like that. And there were reasons why the timing of this interview would not have permitted that kind of chasing, as in hard talk, all right? Because the truth is, if you are tough in the questioning, there are those who are going to say, you are a disgruntled Dem who just trying to make life difficult for the Prime Minister. If you're too soft, there are those people who are going to say that you are a BLP supporter serving up lollipops so that, you know, the Prime Minister or whoever you're interviewing can take the opportunity just to grand charge against other people and that sort of thing. So you know full well that no matter what you do, you are going to have people who are going to say one thing or the other. But you have to hold firm to the view that professionally, this is what is expected of you. And, you know, those types of interviews can get testy. And I believe you would have seen in the early stages that it started to get a little bit like that. But the truth of the matter is a strong interviewer ought not to be fazed by that. And, you know, you just got to press on with what your responsibility is. The whole rationale for being there in the first place was to put the issues to the person who is being interviewed.
But, David, what I observe about the Prime Minister, and I have observed this over the years knowing the Prime Minister, right, that she likes to be tested. Miss Motley loves you to come after her with the testing, to test her, okay? Because Miss Motley could only go from...
Well, I want to say to you that any serious politician prefers that kind of situation than for it to appear, that you are trying to make life as easy as possible for them.
Exactly.
Because that way the best doesn't come out.
Right.
And I've been through, over the years, I've seen some people who have had what I consider to be a very warped notion of what the role of the interviewer is.
This safe zone thing is not Miss Motley's style. But enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
David, I want to say, though, and I want to lend my voice, because at the tail end of the interview, and I want to go into one minor point after this, at the tail end of the interview with her, she said that people have been meeting her, calling her, texting her, asking her to get some rest, get some sleep, I want to add my voice to that. I mean, Miss Motley now came out of a long, hard, rough campaign, and she hit the ground running. I don't think Barbadians at all would be too naive or really think Barbados would welcome the suggestion if Miss Motley...
But she looked more rested to me this time around.
That is fine. But we know that she hit the ground running from the very next day. I would like Miss Motley to take at least a week and a half or 2 weeks off from the job. She have capable people there that could carry the that she could left with the family silver, you know, and it will be safe. That is my thing, right? So let me add my voice to that.
What are your views on the comments that she's made about the government not being one of vengeance, and basically asking people to come forward, and if they do, then basically they wouldn't necessarily be pursued. What is your take on that?
David, I think that's the right approach, right? Because you don't want to name and shame people, you know, and if this is the approach that...
You don't want to name and shame who?
Well, the people that would have run a foul of the
why not? Is that your interpretation?
Pardon me?
Is it your interpretation that you don't want to name and shame, and that's the reason why this is being done?
It could only boil down to that.
Okay.
If she asked people to come forward, if she asked people, say for instance, say the people that owe the bra, okay? People that owe NS, people that get, share the contracts. That's what I'm reading. I don't know what else you're reading. Okay?
I think the difficulty that you face with all of this is that if you've been in a campaign for quite some time arguing that there has been corruption and you come to office, then people expect that you will pursue the particular charge that you've made.
Yeah,
if you do not pursue it, you know what is going to happen.
They're going to say
that it was all done as part of a political stunt. It was done with the aim of trying to get power already I'm hearing a number of people say they don't expect anything to come of this. So they're already very skeptical.
What I know, David, I know that the political class will still be intact. That is what I know. I'm very mindful of that because I know politicians don't like a politician.
Well, you see, that is exactly the kind of sentiment that you're hearing out there, that, you know, you don't expect anything to come of it.
All I'm saying, David, if it is...
But I want to go beyond, you know, it's not just about politicians, but we're talking about corruption in general, you know?
David, this is what I'm saying. If politicians don't lock up politicians, why should you try to lock up a man that over when you could work with the man or the business? Why you want to lock up? That's all I'm saying, but let me move on to my other little thing. You touched on crop over just now, right?
Mm.
David, I think that you read the ball correctly. And people that have been saying to you that they're feeling it, I could say the same. Soho Royal don't really ting me too much, right? Grand Cadument in Bridgetown Market don't really move me in no way. I stopped going to Pan on the Sand. But the truth is, my thing is with the pick of the crop and what's happening around the pick of the crop. And I'm saying that to me, even the juniors coming through, but the juniors ain't coming through with any forcefulness. And I'm saying that this, like, it becoming a dying art. It is pleasing, however, to see structure back doing the authentic Khalid soul that I know. I mean, you still have the Adrian Clarks and the I-Webs, you know, that's still keeping that part of the festival alive and well. But these fellas can't go on forever. Blood's still there. But and indeed Crystal and Donella, but they are just a handful. I think that more interest has to pay to the social commentary. And the commentary, it don't have to be social, the commentary, the way how you craft your calypso. And that is what is missing. And I dare say that I see the tents are losing numbers as the result. People want to hear biting lyrics. People want to hear cutting thrusts. And that is not happening. David, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. We're coming right back. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Before I go into what you said, you being a mere man of your be a guest, you can be the person who do it. What about having something called Voices on the Past on Rasta? When I say that, I'm talking about those departed callers who used to make a big contribution, like Linton Cement Man. If you can have a 3-minute extract of the money program, because I think their contributions were so good that they shouldn't be, because their past should be forgotten. It's just an idea. You can decide whether you want to use it or not. The second thing is, it'd be great if all the regular callers and moderators can have a line, you included. It would give me an opportunity to really tell you off in good major terms. I'm just kidding here, but seriously, I think we should have a link, all of us. It's the controversy, all. Have a link with the regular Rob moderators.
You know that. A lime?
A lame, you know what I mean? A lame, you know, all these got shop lanes, and a lame at a round shop, a lame wherever.
You organize it and I can come. You organize it and I will come.
Okay.
You know, right. Just tell me when and where.
And
as long as you don't put it up there at Bush Hill on any given night.
You see, you're trying to imply, you know.
No, I just tell you where I don't want it. I ain't saying that that's where you would naturally take it.
No,
I am not saying that.
You are trying to give people the impression that I just get there.
No, not at all. I can tell you that I pass there from time to time.
I pass there from time to time.
Right, so.
On another serious note, I am hereby making a firm commitment that I will not go after the Transport Authority for the remainder of the year and the first month.
Well, that means you ain't calling for the program for a long time.
No, I'm not calling.
Because if you don't talk about transport, what will you talk about?
I said, well, you know, there are other things that can be spoken about. It's just my feel.
I'm going to test you.
But San Helmer yesterday, that to me was historic.
What is
that? A lady called the program complaining about the way she was treated, and the chairman of the Transport Authority left his contact number for that lady to call. That was never done before, and it shows a lot that he's making an effort to do things. And I think, in all fairness, he deserves an opportunity to do that. Anything that I see happen, I will go directly to the chairman. I will not come on this program and talk about it.
Well, I spoke to a lady yesterday who was complaining bitterly about the attitude of the people, some of the people that she comes into contact with on the buses, the transport board. Workers. It says there's some unmannerly people who treat the public with utter disrespect. And if there's one thing that she wants to see change, is that particular attitude. You know, for people already have so many challenges trying to get buses to and fro. To add that kind of behavior to it all is just unacceptable. And this is these taxpayers who have been subsidizing those workers pay all along.
Agreed. Also, I can also mention that there are a lot of very nice, polite ones. That is why when complaints are made to the board about workers' behavior, depends on how many complaints have been made, you should part ways with them. Because what that does is to give those people who really go far beyond the call of duty, it tarnished them. And Barbadian society is that they're going to sit up about it. They're going to sit about this individual from the transport board. They can see the workers at transport board. But I know there's a lot. There's some of them who will put the job at risk. I will not say how. To help people. Right? And the sad thing about that, too, there are people who do not appreciate it. I remember I was at Red House waiting for a San Luis Castle bus. There's this bus that played the Warrens Road. The guy had passed up, went back, and came back again and saw a lot of children at the bus full of people. He said, y'all didn't get a bus yet? I said, no. He was finished work. You know what he did? He took up the people, went to Mangrove, and asked the supervisor's permission to take those people to the destination. But you know what? When he made the turn there by Curtis to go to the depot, Washington was casting his mind. What are you so and so going there for? I said, you're an idiot. He ain't supposed to do this. He's finished work. You know, he might even had the guts to apologize. So I go both ways. You have a nice day, David.
Thank you very much. Hello?
Yeah, good morning, Brother David.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning to you, your family, and your station, baby, and your workers. What I call this, I won't be wrong. But I listened to that program with you and the Prime Minister, Mayor Mo Mawley. David?
Yes.
I was around from Derek O&T, all the Mencia Cox and all them. I born in Florida too. And that was excellent. If I go tonight, it feel good. You had tears of the test, and she stand it. And that is what you want to see.
Yeah.
You've done an excellent job. You touch all the ends that people over here talking about. And she come to the plate. I want to thank you very, very much, and also the Prime Minister. God bless you all.
Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing? Yeah,
I'm well, and you?
Well, I'm okay. I'm remarkable, thanks.
Remarkable, yes.
Yes, sir. Okay, I want to step with the Barbados and I'll come back.
Yes.
You've heard that news coming over Brazil with the Dr. Bum Bum, who's on the run after trying to carry out a medical procedure. He's a plastic surgeon. And
yeah, he's a well-known plastic surgeon.
Plastic surgeon, Dr. Bum Bum. And the lady died as a result of something, whatever, and he was on the run, but he was captured yesterday. I bring that home to align it with what's happening in Barbados. There's a lot of pursuit in the area of having a big boom boom, and the procedures done here too. So I'm saying that at this side of town, persons have got to be careful and watch the pursuits in light of the, there's always the likelihood that something could go wrong or whatever. But you know, the emphasis in Barbados is boom boom, wherever you go. Hello?
I'm listening to you. I'm here trying to be educated on these matters.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. You're not tricking me. You're grandpa's master. You're up in age and you know stuff. You're not coming to broadbeat me trying to be no educated. You're on par with myself.
So this man's unfortunate situation, to my mind, I don't know to what extent you can relate that to Barbados. I mean, he must have done many of these
procedures
over the years. And in this particular one, whatever reason, he decided that he was going to go on the run. But I mean, we've had people who have had plastic surgery here, and it had nothing to do with trying to fill out that part of the body that you are more focused on.
The word was used on the air.
Yes, but you know, people go for plastic surgery for all types of reasons. There's some people who have had injuries and their faces and stuff have been scarred, or the parts of their body, and you know, people, you know, so these things can happen anywhere.
No, my take is, my emphasis is not on the plastic surgery after accident or burn or whatever. My little take is on the particular area, and it is now, you know, we gravitate to a lot of outside cultures and practices, etc. So I'm only saying that the same thing is on stream here.
Yeah, but people, you know how many successful operations have been done on the buttocks in Barbados?
Quite a lot, and the breasts,
and stuff like that.
I'm not educated again. I retort that back.
You behave as though, you know, this don't happen in Brazil alone.
I know that, sir. I know that. As a matter of fact, wherever you turn, the emphasis is on the buttock and the projecture, and there's a lot of hype. If you're not with it, you know the gig. You know the
gig. A lot depends upon your culture. There are some cultures where people feel better, believe that they look better once they have plastic surgery in those areas. But I mean, it is par for the course. It's part of life.
Okay. I'm not knocking. I'm only bringing it to the fore. I'm not knocking it or getting into the person's business, as it were. I'm just saying that the people need to pursue it with the likelihood that chances are something can happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like anything else. But that's not my main thing. I come back into Barbados now. I heard one of you. I heard your moderator yesterday, female moderator, Lisa Gill, who I listened to. She's fairly clear in her presentation, et cetera. But she made a point that in going to the IMF, she used a particular term. It's like no man's zone. When you're making negotiations, there are certain areas that aren't into discussion, period. And that being the case, all persons like prime ministers, I think, will know, well, the demarcation. We're not talking this, or we're not talking that. So I was pleased to hear her arming the public with that kind of information, that you don't have to have this fear underlying entrenched fear about the IMF, because there's certain dictates that you can carry out for your own preservation. So it would be, we're going to discuss A, B, and C, but not so. I was glad to hear that. And we would remove any lingering fear of having the discussion or the current discussion from Prime Minister Motley pursuing or having a discussion relative to the IMF. So I think that would ease a lot of tension or concern or anxiety in the IMF. I wonder what's going to come out. I wonder if it's going to be laid off or laying off.
It was, to me, quite significant that in the interview on Sunday evening, the Prime Minister said that she has not ruled out layoffs. But at the same time, what I sense is that the government has tried to go as far as possible in a direction that would narrow the gap between what the government has put in place and what the IMF will be looking for.
I see.
So that's
some common ground.
Well, the net effect of it is that, you know, you've had this increase in taxes, and you have a move towards user fees. What has to be watched now is exactly where are these user fees going to come, and at what level? How high will these user fees be? For instance, user fees applied to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital could generate a lot more talk than user fees applied to some other places. When you're dealing with health, when you're dealing with education and stuff like that, you are going to have a lot more scrutiny over that. In addition to that, though, even though the government has gone in the direction of saying, look, education at the tertiary level, people should be able to go back to university. I don't know that we are going to return to exactly where we were before. So you're going to have, government still has to look at this whole question of how we are going to fund tertiary level education. This is something that has been spoken of for quite a while, and there's got to be more of a sense of responsibility on the part of the people who are receiving the education. If there's one thing that this whole scenario has pointed out, is that you could lose it all. And since you can lose it, you got to be able to cherish it. One of the weaknesses of our system is that we have led people to believe that it is an entitlement. It is a right to get education from primary level right through to tertiary level. But we have not stressed the importance of giving back to the very society that has been so generous to us. So to me, that is something that is absolutely necessary in trying to build this nation and to reinforce the fact that you get so much from Barbados and so much is required from us in giving back. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, community service and things like that, trying to assist other people in the community who need help. The elderly among us, who many of those people now can no longer afford the kind of health care that they require. And how is Barbados going to help those people? How are we going to fix that? A lot of that has got to be fixed through volunteerism, you know. So, we're coming back. A couple of messages here, some thoughts coming from people who have written to us. This person says that that as it relates to bus drivers, they want to know why their conduct can be tied to their performance. They're suggesting that if the authorities receive too many complaints about a particular driver, then that person should be investigated and receive a warning. And that should be normal management practice. And if it isn't happening, then something is wrong. Here's another one that I saw on my Facebook page where this person says that they have no problem giving money to the less fortunate. But he says, but when you bait me at Chaffet Drive through speaker, I don't respect that at all. I also must share with you the experience that I had of seeing a familiar face, somebody who is often around Bridgetown in particular, begging for money, a female. And I saw her in the supermarket pushing a trolley and begging yesterday as well. So that won't really shock me that she should be pushing a trolley and still begging. But perhaps she can't help it. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
I'm pretty good, you know. Now, I want to discuss 2 points with you, but first, let me say, as a matter of fact, we already spoken on this already on the previous occasion, both me and you. The interview that you had with Prime Minister Motley, I was really impressed with the interview. And David, as you know, when you interview someone like me or Motley, a 90-minute interview would be, to my mind, a very short interview.
You wanted more time?
No, I just want to tell you this. Because the question that you would pose to me about the Prime Minister, you know, and her responses to your questions then would take a considerable amount of time.
Well.
So I honestly believe that you did a remarkable job. And when I think about any other journalist, if I had to think about any, the only journalist that I believe could have come close to you would be Tim Slinger. Is he still around?
I think he's retired or something.
Right,
but the truth of the matter is that that's open to interpretation and you know, people's own views about how journalists conduct interviews and stuff like that. All I can tell you is that given the kind of example and trend which has been set here by the Prime Minister, you can anticipate that there will be several more opportunities for other people to interview the Prime Minister and for news conferences, that sort of thing. So you will have ample opportunity to see, you know, the difference in styles and, you know, other people will be able to do the job that, you know, was asked of me. But what else do you have on your mind today?
To finish off on this one, I honestly believe it was sort of difficult to interview someone like me, Molly, Prime Minister Molly. To be honest with you, she is so versed, you know, and there are lots of things.
Well, all I will say to you is that